Welcome to The Grand Life, a podcast about grandparenting, exploring ways to be better at it and to connect to those who are in it with us. I'm Emily Morgan. One of the things that I have learned as I create content for the podcast is that it takes time and effort and a lot of thinking. I have heard from many of you that you like the podcast for that reason. It's a podcast that encourages you to think about grandparenting from all sorts of perspectives. For that reason, we are going to be making some changes that will require a little more thinking on my part. So I'd like to bring in my husband and producer, Mike, to talk about what those changes might look like. So here we are, season 3, episode 2, and my husband, Mike, is here with me.
Hello.
And we are at a crossroads with The Grand Life and with the new podcast called Your Kids, Grandparents. And if you've been listening, you recognize that we kind of were going to replay some of The Grand Life and make it work with Your Kids, Grandparents as we talked to the millennial generation. Well, what we found really quickly was that that's a lot of content to put together, and it turns out to be a little bit more than either of us could handle. If you're a faithful listener, you know that we were both out of jobs. Now, Michael has a job. During the summer, we have a lot going on with our grandkids. So we decided we're going to take a little break from both podcasts, like we did last winter. And we're going to regroup, and we're thinking about some other things that we want to do. It looks like in the future, The Grand Life might look a little bit like this. There might be a segment where we talk to a grandparent. There may be a segment called YKG, Your Kids, Grandparents, where we talk to a millennial. And what I'd really like to do is get some more diversity in here and have guests who are people of color, people of different backgrounds. And those people will do a small segment about how grandparenting looks to them. So we can actually kind of expand our understanding of grandparenting and become more educated about the way things work.
If you've been listening to the first part of season 3, then you've heard content that perhaps if you were a loyal listener all the way back to the very beginning of season 1, you may have heard before. Well, we're going to go back to producing new content as we proceed through season 3 after a short break. And Emily, you have a list of all kinds of things that are new topics that you're going to approach for the balance of season 3.
I do, and whole season 4 laid out. So don't worry that you're not going to have new content. You're just going to have to wait a little while for it. We're going to take a little break and go ahead and live the grand life for a while with our grandkids, and then we'll get back to you. And we hope that you will stick with us. And one way that we hope that will happen, because sometimes people say, well, how will I know when there's a new episode coming? If you subscribe to the podcast through your podcast app, whatever one that is, right?
Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts.
Spotify. Yeah, there's a ton. However you get your podcast, try not to depend on Facebook to give you those podcasts, because there are some troubles with getting it on Facebook, and it's better if you can get it on an actual podcast app if you subscribe.
Sometimes they call those podcatchers.
Podcatchers. And it doesn't cost anything. It's completely free. But it's just necessary in order for you to then hear when a new one will come up, and it will let you know. It will put it – actually automatically puts it into your downloads,
You can set most of the podcast apps to pull them down into your device. That's what happens when you subscribe. It's important that you do subscribe through those apps.
And if you want to write reviews, if you want to share those with people, that'd be great. But for right now
– you have a bunch of reviews up on Apple Podcasts.
I do. You should look at the Apple Podcast reviews. It's really fun to see what people think. I think this is a worthwhile effort, but it definitely is an effort of love, a labor of love. So it's not coming from a place of – we have advertisers or anything like that. We're just really there to serve the grandparenting community, and I hope that we will do that well and continue to do it well. We're really committed to high quality and a good podcast, so we're not going to just waste your time. We want this to be a really good podcast for you and for us. If you have any trouble, or if you have any suggestions, or you have anything that you want to talk to us about during this time, please contact us at grandlifeconnection@gmail.com. And we're on Facebook. You can see us on Facebook and write back and forth to us. And Instagram @GrandLifeConnection. And we will just keep in touch with you. Also, thank you, Mike, for all your help. This has been a partnership. It definitely wouldn't happen without the producing that you do. So thank you so much.
Thanks, Anne. It's also been a learning experience. You know, that's part of what we have concluded as we've worked through the standing up of one podcast, then the standing up of another one, and the sharing of topics and the sharing of content back and forth between them. My guess is that we probably made it a little more complicated than it needs to be. And so now, as we take a break and kind of think through it, we're going to simplify, streamline, improve our product a little bit, I think.
I think so.
And when we come back, and you know, we'll let you know by subscription, probably with a fresh trailer, actually.
Yeah.
That would precede the release of the next new episode. You'll know that we're back to go at full force.
Yes. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate you. Stay with us for this episode where I talk to Beth Borum about self-discovery. She and her husband, Dave, are directors of Fall Creek Abbey, a spiritual retreat center in downtown Indianapolis. I talked to her about her journey to understanding herself through a useful tool called the Enneagram. In The Stretch It Takes, I remember and write about a time when I was feeling pretty misunderstood by my adult children, and I had to reckon with some pretty deep emotions. In order to keep the lines of communication open, I needed to make some changes. You can find this essay on the show notes. Next is a sneak preview of a segment we will be adding to The Grand Life called Your Kids' Grandparents. I talk with Caitlin, a young mom, about how understanding the Enneagram has shaped her life. I think you'll enjoy hearing a fresh young voice. When you have children, you expect them to grow and change. In fact, you'd be disappointed if they didn't. 18 years later, and with a little more time on our hands, we start having to confront our own changes, at least in our roles as parents. It has become clear to me that if we don't recognize and alter the way we relate to our children, eventually we will find it difficult to function together as a family of adults. And when the grandchildren come along, whoa, it becomes even more complicated. Self-acceptance and self-knowledge were not particularly popular in earlier generations of grandparenting. Our generation, however, has had the benefit of self-help books and counseling to shepherd us through our older years. We have found our own voice and have learned not only that we can speak up, but also that we can listen more. Instead of crossing our arms and believing we are right about everything, we can learn to admit we still have a lot to learn. In my own experience, learning about the Enneagram helped me to process a lot of feelings I was having once our nest emptied out. To learn more about that, I interviewed Beth Borum, who, along with her husband,
started an urban retreat center. It's called Fall Creek Abbey. And we provide personal space for individuals who want to come away for retreats just to have some time to think and reflect and pray. And then we also open up our main floor space to small groups and teams, and just to create a warm and inviting environment for them to do good work together.
Welcome to The Grand Life, Beth.
I'm happy to be here.
I know that you work as a counselor or spiritual director and offer seminars on the Enneagram. Maybe you can explain a little bit about it, and then how we might use a tool like the Enneagram to become more self-aware.
Sure. Well, it is a great tool, and I'll just tell you, maybe I'll try to in a few sentences. The interesting thing is the Enneagram is somewhat complex and nuanced, so it takes a bit of time to become familiar with it so that you can actually utilize the information to be helpful. But Ennea means nine, and so the Enneagram describes nine primary personalities, and a lot of people don't like to be buttonholed, so each of those nine personalities, if you think of them as like a color, you know, the color blue has a gazillion shades, and every personality has lots of shades, but there's some basic things that are true. What is so profound about the Enneagram is that if you become aware of your own particular personality style, represented by one of those numbers, you can also become aware of some of the patterns, some of the both the virtues of that style, but also what we might call the vices or the low side of that style. And by becoming aware of those things, then you can begin to become a more mature and healthy person in the way that you live your life and you relate to others. So it's a very insightful psycho-spiritual inventory that is really worth taking a look at. And I would say if you want a book recommendation, in my opinion, the very best book to begin with is a book called The Road Back to You, by Ian Cron and Suzanne Stabile. It's just very accessible, and it's a good place to start. And then there's a lot of podcasts. Both Ian Cron and Suzanne Stabile have podcasts that can be helpful as well.
One of the ways to be a good grandparent is perhaps to work on our inner selves in order to have a healthy relationship with our own children. Because some of the most common problems I've been seeing in grandparenting our grands is that we have tried to leapfrog over our parental relationship with our children and are hoping for a strong relationship with our grands. And I'm wondering how you look at that. How you see? Do you see that? And is that something that you can speak to?
Well, it's interesting that you ask this at this time in my life, because I think I have identified for myself, and I don't know that anybody else in my family would put it this way, but I think we're in a little bit of an awkward season as a family. And by awkward, that's not bad. It is simply that we are in a transition. And in fact, I meet with someone monthly, my own spiritual director, and so I chatted with Nancy about this. There were some things that happened over Christmas, you know, things can happen. And so I experienced some things that were really hard for me. And I think what they were revealing to me is that we are moving into a new season as a family, mm-hmm. where I am stepping back and I am no longer being the hub,
mm-hmm.
you know, the hospitality queen who makes it happen for everybody else.
Yep.
And I got my feelings hurt because I felt a little overlooked. And it invited some important conversation with some of my kids, not to berate them, because what's happening is natural and it's really important that I am open to it. Transition that is necessary in order to grow as a family. But I really realized that this is a challenge for me. And so it's made me have to look within myself and say, okay, what's the growing edge for me right now? So that I can allow myself to accept this change and to step back and to allow my kids to have more influence over how we spend our holidays together and the kinds of traditions we observe.
Which is difficult, don't you think? Because as a parent, our children depend so much on us to, you know, develop a structure for them and help them and feed them and all of the things that we do. And then, you know, at some point, that's not our job anymore. It's hard. I love that you're saying this, because I think many people at our age would connect to what you're talking about.
It is hard. Yeah. In many ways, I've often felt like what was very natural to me as a mother of young children, as they have gotten older, become adults, is the steps are very unnatural. You know, it was natural for me to hover, to protect, to nurture, to love, to want to, you know, wrap my arms around my children and keep them close. It is not natural for me to step back and to let them own the weight of their own life and be their own person, and to not overcare or overfunction because I want to protect them or I want to influence them in a certain way. The skills we need for adult kids feel very unnatural.
Yeah, and it is interesting because some people just give up. I mean, the black and white of it, they just can't do it. And so they retreat and kind of lose the relationship they had with their children. And that's when I'm talking about leapfrogging, trying to get over that relationship, ignoring the hard work of repairing or trying to make that relationship better so that they can have a good relationship with their grandchildren. Because what I have noticed is that people who leapfrog over, the children become the gatekeepers and the gate goes down. And then they're like, the grandparents can't get past the gatekeeper to get to the grandchildren because the control is all in the parents' hands. It behooves us, I think, as grandparents to spend the time it takes to get to know who we are so that we can offer that in a healthy way to our children who then give us access to our grandchildren in a new way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's so interesting. It's interesting that we share that, and I'm sure other people in the audience do as well. Beth, thank you so much for joining us. It's been great to talk with you and to learn more about the privilege of grandparenting from your perspective.
Thank you for having me.
I'd like to thank my guest, Beth Borum. If you are interested in understanding more about the Enneagram, we have posted her book and podcast recommendations on our Facebook page, The Grand Life. You may also learn more about her published books and Fall Creek Abbey, the Borum's Retreat Center in downtown Indianapolis. Have you noticed that every time you do something new or different, it involves a sort of stretching? Just like when we were first parents, being a grandparent is not something we've done before. When we become one, we can feel awkward and unable. So we practice in order to become more flexible. I like to call this kind of work relationship yoga. So let's head to the mat and start flexing. In this week's The Stretch It Takes, I talk about what it means to know yourself. We often lose ourselves in those years of taking care of our kids. And when we finally get back in touch with who we are, we might not really like who we've become. Here's what I mean. Our nest was definitely emptying out. With only 4 years and 7 months between the first and the last child, it was now time for them to leave as fast as they had arrived. The last 20 years of my life was all about nurturing, providing meals, crafting birthday experiences, and creating traditions for our brood. We were a tight-knit group, and I liked it that way. And I was the museum curator of their lives, a job I embraced wholeheartedly and which spoke to all my strengths. To my surprise, I had no idea that one weekend at a friend's lake house would play to all of my weaknesses. It started out as a farewell weekend for our son, who was heading to New Zealand for a semester abroad program. Our eldest had just returned from a semester in Oxford, England. Looking back, I know that I was proud of myself for encouraging each of them to flee the nest. I was being so selfish to share them with the world. Mind you, I'm looking back on it now with a new sense of what was really happening. I saw myself as someone who served my family with great zeal. There was nothing I wouldn't do for our children. But I had my limits, especially when it involved opening my heart to others outside of our clan. By the time the Lake House weekend was fully planned, our guest list somehow doubled in size. I was feeling like our children thought we were not enough. They wanted more. 3 of our daughter's roommates from college, 3 significant others, whom I pretty much guessed would never be more than a memory in a few years. I was suddenly ugly crying in the closet of our bedroom. Of course I said yes. Of course I prepared meals for everyone, including fun omelets you could boil in a Ziploc bag, a lavish burrito bar, homemade enchiladas, and lots of goodies. Of course I smiled and looked like I was having fun, but there was a smorgasbord of hurt building up inside of me. The intimate family send-off to New Zealand had become its own college frat sorority party, with me as a built-in caterer and my husband as the service boy. To be clear, our children were not ungrateful, but I was pretty ticked off. You see, I was only happy if my ideals were honored, and I was given the commensurate amount of gratitude that I deemed matched my efforts. Otherwise, I was resentful. I was discovering that I was really not as selfless as I thought. Ouch. This was a new beginning for me. Eight years later, and many counseling sessions behind me, we were on a family trip that included 15 humans now, including grandchildren. Everyone was with their forever spouse or significant other, a completely different picture that included no one who had joined us at the lake house.
By then, I had the benefit of counseling. I had learned that I needed to let go, to stop controlling and curating, to realize that we didn't have to do everything as a group or everything in my idealized way. Also, I could say no if I didn't want something. Boundaries were good. I had learned that family vacations meant we could actually relax. We didn't need to do everything I thought defined our family, things like singing together, and reading plays together, and me making every meal. So I had made progress. But darn, there was this box. It had all the things in it that I thought would make it a fun week. I had packed candles for better hygge, which is a Danish tradition, games, crossword puzzles for competition. You see where I'm going. It had taken me a lot of time and thought to pack that box. My counselor made a suggestion when I told her about it. Okay, she said, just don't bring the box. What? I was horrified. I literally shrunk into the chair, my forearms tucked into my cross legs, head down. I have to bring the box, I said, nearly in tears. She realized the magnitude of what she was asking. After a few minutes of silence, she conceded, okay, we'll bring the box, but don't open it. Tell everyone it's there and then don't touch it again. I managed to do that, and truthfully, it was the best vacation we had ever had. Future ones have become even better, and I didn't even need to bring the box. Looking back, I realized that while I believed the weekend at the lake house was the beginning of the end, because it felt like it, it clearly was the beginning of the beginning for me. As an empty nester, there is nothing better that you can give your spouse, your grandchildren, your children, than the gift of understanding yourself. I was starting to become aware of the patterns of my responses to our children. I was learning the deep truth of who I am and what that means in terms of how I relate to others, especially the ones I love so dearly. This is the hard work of getting to know yourself that is easy to forego. If you are struggling with the relationships with the people closest to you, end the struggle now and start again at the beginning. Caitlin is a young mom who learned about the Enneagram way earlier than Beth or I did. She had gotten a head start on the notion that self-knowledge and awareness can make things easier for everyone, but it doesn't come without some hard work. Let's listen in on part of a conversation I had with her about all the different personalities in her family.
I remember our first holiday season we were married. It was just a disaster. Like, I think we argued in the car the whole way home after every single event. Like, and so as much as like it's hard on the grandparent, it's not easy on us either.
Yeah.
as much as you guys love those traditions, like chances are, like, you know, I remember I was really mourning like the loss of some traditions my family did.
Mm-hmm.
I had a whole other family who also had their traditions.
That's crazy. There's nine different ways of looking at it from the Enneagram standpoint. So if you think about that in a crowded room of all sorts of different people, people are all taking it differently, all thinking about it differently. It's enough to make you worried that, you know, just don't say anything, just sit there.
And I remember just, you know, like years have passed and we've been able to reflect on that holiday season and how we can improve this. And I just remember talking to my husband one year and saying, like, my parents took it really personally that I grew up and got married. Like, maybe that sounds harsh, but like their reaction felt very personal. And so,
it's so funny because it really is what we want for you. But then when it happens, it's really painful.
And as close as like your kids are in age, like that's how quickly all those changes then happen too.
Right.
And it's like, we haven't even resolved, you know, your older sibling getting married yet. And now we have you doing this too.
Oh, man.
I think another really big game changer for us that we've learned, just like with our parents, you know, adjusting to like the new normal and the new routines and stuff, is just like setting expectations. And, we now have the balance that I have promised my parents I will be at their house on Christmas Eve morning. I will be there.
Yeah.
And like we've set that expectation, and our holidays are really enjoyable now. Like,
yeah,
we love our time we get to spend with family, and there's just unspoken expectations only lead to hurt. As a grandmother of struggling with, you know, having to step back, maybe when the emotions have settled down a little bit.
Yeah. No, I think that's
about expectations.
I think that's so true. You're wise, Caitlin. That's what it is all about, I think. And that does require a lot of communication. And of course, communication can sometimes be bunged up by people not really understanding who they are and how they come off. And so it is a huge learning curve. And, you know, we talk about, and sometimes in Enneagrams, they talk about the growing edge. What is the growing edge for you? Like a place that you need to be more aware of and maybe grow into. And I wondered, after all this looking at your Enneagram and stuff, what is the growing edge for you? What is the place for you that you think you want to keep growing in?
I feel like my growing edge is so obvious to me that, like, I don't even need to think about this answer. So one of the big things about Enneagram 5s is we really measure our energy output. I joke with my husband that I wish there, you know, on your phone, how it says how much battery life is left.
Uh-huh.
I wish that my forehead had that and my family could decide whether or not they were going to talk to me according to my battery life.
Wow, that's brilliant. I mean, that's a brilliant thing. We could have it in our forehead and we could all know.
Like, here's where my energy's at. You know, preparing for this conversation, I was like, honey, can you take the kids out? I got this phone call tonight and I want to be ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
And having that, you know, awareness of energy.
Yeah.
But so on the flip side of that coin, I have a really hard time staying committed to something that I'm not seeing a return on for my energy. Like, if I have a new idea and I'm researching a lot and I'm putting in a lot of effort, and then there's just like nothing coming to me, or it's just not coming to fruition, I have a really hard time staying committed to that.
Wow.
Because I'm like, well, here's the amount of energy it's taking from me and I'm not getting anything back.
Huh.
And so, you know, in relationships that can not be so productive. Because sometimes relationships are 90-10.
Yeah. Especially with children, especially with young children. I mean, you're not getting any benefits at that point. They're just draining you.
Yeah, there's not a lot of return there except for, you know, the sticky fingers on my face.
Yeah.
Pretty sweet, but
Caitlin, it was so good to talk to you about Enneagrams tonight. You know, I love so many of your ideas and your insights, and it occurs to me that no matter what age we are, you can benefit by learning more about ourselves in order to get along with other people. So thanks so much for joining us today, and I look forward to hearing from other people what the feedback is on this, because I think a lot of people are kind of going to want to look at the Enneagram to learn more about themselves.
Yeah. I would really recommend it, but you got to go into it ready to learn some hard truth.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Caitlin. I look forward to our next episodes that will be available as soon as we can put them together. But first, a break, where I will live the grand life that I'm so fond of talking about. I don't pretend to be the best grandparent ever, but I will confess to believing that being one is the best thing ever. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook and subscribe to The Grand Life wherever you get your podcasts. Please keep in touch. I'm Emily Morgan, and this is The Grand Life.
This podcast is written and hosted by Emily Morgan, my grandmother. It is produced and edited by Mike Morgan, my grandfather. Some of the music was written by Lee Rosevere from the Free Music Archive, freemusicarchive.org.